Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed. Blessed and blessed again to be with you this morning as we move forward through the word of God, and it is, as always, a great word. And today, our title is this: "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" You think that through. What does it gain a man? Come on now. Gain the whole world and lose his soul. You can have all the things in this world, but you can't take none of them with you. You can't take even the clothes on your back with you. They're not going with you. You can't take all the riches in the world, all the billions, all the someone probably will be a trillionaire before our lifetime is over. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. There is nothing in this world that we can take with us but our soul. The only thing that's going with you is your soul. Thing going with us is our soul. And the thing is, the question is your soul right with God? Can't take it. Can't take the car. Can't take the house. You can't even take your children. Even though we know the Pharaohs and the Egyptians tried to do it. Only thing going with us is our soul. And so all people trying to get. I will kill my brother for stuff. Gaining the whole world. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be in charge of the free world. And I'll do whatever I have to do it. Gain the whole world, lose your soul. Caught up. And we have to be careful. Because understand, God is seeing everything we do. He sees everything. He even knows your thoughts. This is something to think about. All of us need to think about, am I trying to gain more and more and more in the process losing my soul? I'd rather be with God. All the stuff in the world is just that stuff. You know, at one point in my life, you know, accumulation of stuff. You know, I wanted to have this, that, you know, the best of this, the best of that. You know, had one of the best jobs. You know, all of these things, you know, drove this kind of car, da-da-da, and realized it's just stuff. Get with me. I give it all the stuff that I have. So I've had my husband back at one point in time. I talked to God about him, like, you know, Lord, you know, what does it mean to have everything when you don't have the love of your life? And then the Lord said, I am the love of your life. You have me. And I had to repent. Totally repent. Because I realized I had put stuff, people, everything in place in those holes that you have in your heart. You know, you put stuff in it, people in it, things in it, work in it, all the things that you're trying to fill up when the only thing that can fill up that space is God. What does it gain a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It gains him nothing. Nothing. God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, Lord, asking you to fill us up, unharden any hearts, Lord God, that would listen to this word. Let them hear it. Let them feel it. Let them know that there is only one God, and it is you. Lord God, I want my soul to be with you when it is my time. Lord, I ask you to watch over all of us, guide us, lead us into the light, oh God, into righteousness, into love and kindness, and all the fruits of the Spirit, a gentle heart, Lord God. Faith. Knowing that all things are possible through you who give us strength, as your word tells us. Lord God, to be strong and courageous, as you have told me, gave me my word, my scripture, as my word of the day on yesterday. Have I not told you to be strong and courageous? I believe, Father God, that you are in charge of my life. And I ask you, Lord, to please forgive me if I have done anything in word and thought and deed, said anything that I should not have said. I ask forgiveness, oh God, and ask you to take control of this blog, of this talk, of everything I do. Lord God, give us insight into this word that we will understand it, that it will touch our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our spirit. That we will be able to one day, Lord God, whew, hallelujah, stand in the midst and say, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Who was and is to come will be you, oh God. And we thank you this day that you have made, Lord. We are rejoicing in it, as I say every morning. I thank you, God, for waking me up. I thank you for the sunrise that I see coming into my window every morning. I thank you, Lord, for this brand new day. And ask you, Father, to increase as I decrease. And let these words that come from my mouth be pleasing in your sight, Lord God. Take control. In the precious and holy name of my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray this prayer. Asking you to watch over those listening now and those that may listen later. Give them a brand new, wonderful day, Lord God. For we know somebody didn't get a do-over today, but we did. So, Lord, help us to help be better than yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. Give it honor to God, who is the source of my strength, to be strong and courageous. That is my scripture. That's my life scripture. We each should have a life scripture, and mine just happens to be Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9 has got me through a whole lot in my life. When the Lord tells you, didn't I command you to be strong and courageous? The Lord tells us in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a word that you can take wherever you go, that he is always there. He is always with you, and he loves us more than anything. He loves us more than anything. We cannot take anything for granted with God. We got to do it right, and right we do, because we are children of God, and I am in love with Jesus. We got to have that I'm in love with Jesus in our spirit. I'm in love with Jesus, and he's in love with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day that you have made. That's what we say. Thank you, Lord God, for the day you have made. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the day you have made. For we know they are one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's get started in this awesome and mighty word this morning. And the word is starting from, we are in Numbers chapter 5, verse 27. We are also, will be in Psalms chapter 30, verses 8 through 12. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 38. which is where our scripture is coming from this morning. And we're going to start actually today in Mark. Instead of our Old Testament word, we're going to start in Mark, and then we're going to go back into our Numbers word. And our Mark word is Jesus speaking. You know, as we say, you know, those King James red letter Bibles, you know, where you know when it's red, that's Jesus, and you got to pay attention. So we got a lot of red today. And this is what his blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others once the prophet. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Can I say hallelujah? Say it with me, y'all. Hallelujah. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. But you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. We better understand. Can be real close to us and say stuff that we know did not come from them, but came from the devil. You got to be able to say, get behind me. But I say this. I don't want the devil behind me. I really don't. Because when I say get behind me, Satan, I don't want Satan at my back where I can't see him. I can't see him coming up with a big plank to pop me upside my head. I'm not Jesus. I want Satan in front of me where I can see him, where I can pop him upside the head, where I can say, I want to see you because you are doing right, and I'm not going to let you get in my grill. You got to go. We got to know how to tell, devil, you got to go. I see you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and all your dominions. You got to go. You got to get out of this house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to start speaking the word of God in our environment, in our homes, in our cars, wherever you are, speak the word of God. And then it goes on to tell us in his word. Ooh, hallelujah. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. We want to be mindful of the things of God, not of men. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I'll say this again. I know not one minister, apostle, pastor, prophet who has not gone through something. I don't know any of them. I have not met one that has not gone through something to bring them to the point of total dependence on God and accepting the call. When, as they say, many are called, few are chosen. And when you are chosen, you better believe it. You're going to go through it. And it's going to take something to bring you to this point where you're doing what you do. I don't know any, not one, that has not gone through. Some from childhood, some in their adulthood, some in childhood and adulthood have gone through some stuff. God doesn't have time for wimps. I'm just being honest. And I know I may offend someone, but please forgive me. But you got to be tough and you got to be strong to do what we do for God. You can't play because you're going to come under attack all the time by something or someone. You cannot be a wimp and work for God. I know not one that has not gone through something. The truly called have gone through something. The chosen have gone through something. It's not easy being ministers. It's not a title. Titles come and go. And you know the titles from the called and from the chosen. You'll know it. You'll know it. I pray God every day. Thank you, Lord. Give me strength. And then I'll hear, be strong and courageous. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I hear it in my speak. I hear it in my sleep. I know that my God is always there and he's always with me. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it goes on to tell us, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. But what will it profit a man? Can I say it? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, or with the holy angels. Understand, I say this, what does it gain you? Gain all the world, lose your soul. All these folks, and I'm saying it, I don't like talking politics. I don't. But I'm going to tell you this. All them folks that was bowing at that golden idol at the CPAC last week, better check yourself. You need a soul, because that is idolatry. That is a golden calf moment. If you are taking pictures, if you are hollering and screaming after a golden idol, you better check yourself, because God is watching. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you given your soul to politics, to one party or another party, for the sake of greed and supremacy that are not of God? What does it gain you? And the word of God says, Dr. Stanley, in this life lesson, he says to us, Mark chapter 8:36, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, his own soul? Let me make sure I put it in their own soul. This question is meant as rhetorical. Nothing can make up for the loss of one soul. Yet how many of us regularly exchange our lives for much less than the whole world? I'm going to give my life as I storm a Capitol building because I believe in a big lie. I believe in a lie is a lie is a lie. And you cannot dress up a pig and make it into a woman. A pig is a pig, and because you put lipstick on it, it's still a pig. You cannot make up a lie and think that it's the truth, and you cannot make a lie truth. The truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie. Just like they tried to cover up the Savior's resurrection with a lie. Oh, his disciples stole him. No, Christianity is still here, over 2,000 years later. But do you have anybody worshiping idols right now? Yeah, we do. And we got to stop it. There's only one God, and he is a jealous God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. And then I have another thing, that this is about a life question. Should I tithe when I'm financially struggling? And that's from verses 34 to 36. When he has called the people to himself with the disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. And again, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? From the human perspective, the Bible is a book of paradoxes. It says, for example, that if we really want to have life, we must first lose it. Matthew 10 and 39. If we want to understand authority, we must first become a servant. Matthew 20, 26 and 27. We've read those this month. We've read those this year, let me put it that way. For if we want to go and get ahead in life, we must first humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and 6, and we'll be getting to that in the course of this year. And giving to God is the first step toward financial freedom, and that is the truth. Wow, you say, how can I give God anything when I can't even pay my bills? Doesn't God expect me to take care of my debts first? At first glance, such a response sounds reasonable. The problem is, it's not God's response. He insists that if we don't give, then we are robbing him. That Malachi word again. And we will end up in worse financial shape than ever. I can attest to that. Been there, done that, and wind up in the bad situation because of it. I am faithful with my tithing. I'm going right, first thing, check up. Ooh, let me write my tithe. Keep in mind that God gives us his tenth in the first place. It never is ours. All things come from you and of your own. We have given you, 1 Chronicles 29 and 14. The tithe is our way to renew God's blessing in our lives. It is always for our increase. And I'm not talking prosperity. I'm not talking that prosperity word. I'm just talking what the word of God says. And it says, God's promises have been tried and proven. This includes the promise regarding tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The Lord tells us, and then he adds, try me now in this. Come on now. God invites, in Malachi 3 and 10, God invites us to try him, to prove his wisdom, to test his truth. What a bold challenge. We're always talking about somebody's truth. The truth is, try God. What a bold challenge. Will we take it up? If we do, he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings for you until it overflows. Malachi again, 3 and 10. The challenge involves a tithe, a tenth of your income. That may frighten you, but remember, since God owns it all, he is asking only for a penny back out of every dime. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't. He simply wants us to discover the rewards of obedience. Giving to God's supernatural means a priming of the pump of divine supply. We initiate it by faith, not reason. Giving to God is the prerequisite for enjoying true financial freedom. If you feel afraid to give a tenth of your income, then at least start somewhere. when you start to give and realize the wisdom of God's economic plan, it won't be long until you will be giving a tenth of your income or even more. We got to give to God. And I just say this, you know, for those that always are, well, I ain't paying for the pastor to have this or that. You're not. Too many pastors that don't have other jobs. They write books. They do other things for income. Because if you have to depend on just the church's income, then you're not going to be able to survive in so many instances because people don't want to do what? Pay their tithes. And I will tell you this. Most pastors are giving back whatever they're giving. Those that are called and chosen are giving back. And yes, they may drive a nice car, but yes, they have a job. Yes, they may have a nice house that is not the parsonage because they have a job. You know, understand, most of us work or we are retired or we have other sources of income besides the church. I have no source of income from my ministry. I do this out of love for God because I love him a lot. I love him more than anything. I told you my favorite song is More Than Anything. You know, I can't sing it without getting filled up. When I sing, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. We got to have that in our spirit. And as far as your tithes and your offering, the church has bills just like we do. We are taking care of God's house. The light bill, the water bill, the gas bill. In the summertime, we're paying for that electric bill so you can have air when you come in on Sunday and don't have to be fanning with the fan from the funeral home. You know, in the wintertime, you don't have to be sitting in your coat trying to praise God. And, okay, come on now. When you have Monday night service, Wednesday night service, Thursday night service, Saturday get together with the kids, Sunday service, you got to have electricity, you got to have lights, you got to have water. Those things cost money. That's what you are paying. Your tithes are taking care of God's house. If you ask to clean the toilet, just clean the toilet. I quietly cleaned the toilet on Tuesday at my church. I had prayer service, and I went in because I had to use the restroom, and I saw something I didn't like. I cleaned the toilet, and I did it quietly. Nobody needed to know, but I'm telling you this. Don't be so high in the instep that you can't even clean the toilet of the church. We got to take care of God's house because that is God's house. And as we get back into our numbers words, you're going to understand that God's house and this tabernacle was important. It was important. And so let's get back into our Old Testament words. We are going back into Numbers. And if God says the same, we will get into our Psalm and Proverbs. But this is what the Word of God said in Numbers chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, again, a contagion, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp that they may not defile their camp in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp. As the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. When a man or woman commits any sin, that man commits in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one to the one he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord, for the priest, in addition to the ram of the atonement, in which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring to the priest, shall be his, and every man's holy things shall be his. Whatever any man gives, the priest shall be his. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witnesses against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, one-tenth of an ephah of barley. He shall pour no oil on it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembrance in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have his hand the bitter water that brings the curse. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanliness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself, and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thighs rot, and your belly swell, and make it this water that causes the curse go into your stomach, and make your belly swell and your thigh rot, then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. That's some serious stuff. Now, what about the man? Come on now. Is the woman the only one going to get taken out? You know, I'm just throwing it out there. That's just me. But for let's call it straight, she don't have no business trying. And I was listening to a show the other day, and they were talking Whitney Houston, you're more than the man I need. I think that's how it is. And I'm like, that's a cheating zone. You know, back in the day, you know, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. Cheating. All these songs folks was dancing to back in my day. Back in the day, I'm a mom. And, you know, all back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, all these cheating songs. We better understand. You know, you rocking to cheating. Watch yourself. Listen to the words of songs. Don't just take, and every song that has the title gospel is not always giving praises unto the Lord. We need to understand before you start singing something, what are they singing? And is it biblically correct? Be careful. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water. And he shall make a woman drink the bitter water that brings the curse. And the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hands, shall wave the offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take the handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterwards make the woman drink the water. Then he has made her drink the water. Then it shall be, if she has defiled herself, behave unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man, and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all the law upon her. then the man shall be free from iniquity, but that the woman shall bear her guilt. And this is what the word of God says for Numbers chapter 5, verse 7. He shall confess the sin which he has committed. Confession of sin is a prerequisite for reestablishing close fellowship with the Lord. Since all sin is unfaithfulness to God, we must admit to him how we have been unfaithful. We got to be faithful to God. Be faithful in your walk. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, chapter 6 of the book of Numbers, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of Nazarite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fruit, fresh grapes, or raisins. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the day are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister, when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord. And if anyone dies very suddenly beside him, and he defiles his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day he shall shave it. Then on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and the priest shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and make atonement for him because he sinned in regard to the corpse. And he shall sanctify his head. That same day he shall consecrate to the Lord the days of his separation and bring a male lamb in his first year as a trespass offering. But the former days shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Now this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall present his offering to the Lord, one male lamb in his first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering, one ewe lamb in his first year, without blemish, as a sin offering, one ram without blemish, a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and their grain offering with their drink offering. Then the priest shall bring them before the Lord and offer his sin offering and his burnt offering, and he shall offer the ram as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall also offer its grain offering and its drink offering. Then the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the boiled shoulder of the ram, one unleavened cake from the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaved his consecrated hair, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. They are holy, for the priest, together with the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. It is the law of the Nazarite who vows to the Lord the offering for his separation, and besides that, whatever else his hand is able to provide according to the vow which he takes. So he must do according to the law of his separation. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Hallelujah. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. Psalms chapter 30, verses 8 through 12. I cried out to you, O Lord, and the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your, O Lord, and have mercy on me? Lord, be my helper. You have turned to me. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. I can praise God. Been there, done that, mourned. I almost took myself into the ground. We got to let things go. We got to let people go. And I tell you, it is not easy. It's not easy. I love God, and I thank God for the parents and the mother that he gave me. My mom, I love my mother, and I thank her for allowing me to have parents. You know, we have to be grateful for the life that we are given. We have to be grateful, and I am so grateful to my godparents who raised me part of my life. I am grateful to my mother who gave me life and knew what I needed and said, I'm going to let you live with your godparents. And she did, and I am so thankful for it. I am grateful that I had an opportunity to have a mother and a father, to actually have two mothers and a father. Because I'm going to tell you this, for those out there that got two mamas, my godmother and my mother, and then I had another set of godparents, and those five people did not play. Goodness, I couldn't do nothing everywhere. Everywhere. When I tell you this, because I grew up in a small town, when you have godparents and parents that are in your life, that are out there, that know people, who know people, you better not understand. Don't think you can go anywhere or do anything without somebody knowing it. I mean, I would go on bike rides with my friends, and by the time I got home, and now we're talking no cell phone, all you had was that landline. And sometimes when I first grew up, we had party lines. And let me tell you something. Please. Folks, when listening to your conversations on the party line, don't be trying to talk something because somebody knew somebody who knew somebody who was going to tell on you what you were saying on the phone. But understand this. I would take my little bike and I would go down on, I lived on 7th Street, but I would ride out to my mama's house because my mom lived on 8th Street. So I lived on South 7th. But between North 8th, South 7th, I would go over to one of my friends' house who lived over on South 10th Street. Let me tell you this. Everywhere I went, my mothers knew about it. My godmothers knew about it. And I would get a phone call. Or I would be, when I walked through the door, oh, so you was over at such and such a house. Eyes get big. How'd they know that? Oh, you was riding over on 8th Street. Oh, you was down on 9th Street. What were you doing on 9th Street? Who were you visiting on 9th Street? You know, wait, did you ride out to Tillman? Did you go there? Everywhere they know. That's love. All those mamas, all those godmothers, all those extended family members of my church, of my churches, because I went to two. I thank God for the ladies. My husband called them the Paducah ladies. Burst Chapel AME Church. Thank you, Miss Wilson. I love you, Miss Williams. I love all of you ladies of Burst Chapel. You know, come on, wonderful women. Miss Mundy. Oh, thank you, God, for Miss Mundy. She was the most wonderful woman I ever met in my life. I love my Miss Mundice, cause Miss Charlene, I love you. If you ever listening, and anybody who's listening in Paducah, you can tell Miss Charlene I love her. This woman helped me sing, helped me to gain confidence in myself to sing in the house of God. I thank God for her and the Branham sisters and all the women that raised me at Birth Chapel Emmy Church. And I thank God for my Salvation Army family who gave me this thirst to minister, to want to minister, to want to be a part of God and to do God. I love y'all. Brenda Green, you my girl, always will be. You know, all the Alma Weatherspoon Ford, my girl. These are women that I grew up with, and we all grew up in the Salvation Army, loving God, working for God, doing what we did because we love God, and we all still do it because we love God. And because we understand that what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We understand that. We learned it at the Salvation Army. We learned it in Girl Guards. We learned it going to camp and working in camp and doing the things that we did for God. And then Mrs. Delaney for being there in my life. I thank Miss Ruth, God rest her soul, who brought me there. And who loved God so much that she gave her life working in ministry. I thank God for all those wonderful people who make me who I am. So when I say you have turned for me my morning into dancing, but all those people that have gone on before, both sets of godparents have all are deceased. But I'm so grateful for Mary and Paul. I'm grateful for Lil and Henny. I'm grateful for all those people that were in my life. I'm grateful for my mother-in-law and my husband. I'm grateful for all that God has given me. And yes, I mourned big time. But God has turned my mourning into dancing and my sorrow to joy. He says this, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, because for everyone that has gone on, I gained something from them in my life. Love, laughter, and above all, God. And the word says, and to the end, that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And I thank God every day for the blessing of my family, my aunts, my uncles, the joy of the Lord that each one gave me. Thanking God for my aunt Janet, thanks fund, because she was just like that. For my absolutely gorgeous mother, who I am so grateful that she is still here, and I can call and say, Mama, what you doing? Or, Mama, you want to go on a trip with me? You know, she is the greatest traveling companion anyone could ever have. She is awesome to travel with. I love my mom, and I'm grateful for our relationship. Proverbs 11:1-3. Dishonest scale are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When comes, then shame comes shame. Understand it. Read that again. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. We must be humble. Hallelujah. I want wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Understand what is that they say in our Numbers words. If a woman is unfaithful, she got to drink all this bitter, bitter water. Come on now. And a belly will swell and her thighs will rot. That is some, oh, don't want to be in that place. And this is what it says for Numbers chapter 6. Verse 20 says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God loves to bless his people, to show us grace, favor, and peace. And the greatest blessing of all is that he blesses us with his presence. Thank presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all things good and perfect. Thank you for the good, the bad, and even the ugly, Lord, because everything helps us to grow and to be better. Psalms 30 and 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. God never meant for life to be one long lament. He never meant for his people to trudge through life with a perpetual cloud over their heads. To know God is to know joy. And even in sorrow, we can rejoice in him. Hallelujah. We got to give praise to the Lord. Give praise to God. Love the Lord God with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. And a Proverbs 11:1, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God is as concerned that his people conduct fair and honest sexual lives, honor him. Leviticus 18:22. He delights in a just weight because it reflects his righteousness. We cannot allow lies to become truths and truths to become lies. Because somebody says a lie more and more and more and more and more does not make that lie a truth. The truth is the truth, and it is the truth that sets us free. We got to understand that we got to trust God. What did it say? Well, it declared your truth. What prophet is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. We got to keep that in our hearts. That's highlightable. Have mercy on me. We got to ask God daily, have mercy on me, Lord. Because I'm not perfect. I'm running the race to get to that place. I want to be a part of God's kingdom. I don't want to be in the pit. I don't want to be in the fire, gnashing and screaming and hollering all day and all night from the pain. Uh-uh. Don't want it. I want Jesus. I want to be right there at his feet, bowing down, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Hallelujah. I want to be right there with the angels. I want to be that spiritual being, neither male nor female, just praising God, that spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. We got to trust in the Lord, family, and keep putting God first in whatever we do. Let your first thing in the morning be a word from God, and I thank God for this assignment. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. For those that were listening yesterday, I was under attack. It was like I was so exhausted and didn't know why. You know, and I just tell you, I actually think I fell asleep on air. And I snored and woke myself up. I mean, I'm just being honest because I keep it real. There, you know, all the folks, you don't want to be, you know, so fake and phony because they're on the radio. No, we keep it real on this show because the bottom line is God's going to keep it real with us. And it was like I felt someone pray for me. And it's like reviving. It revived me because it was like I was being pulled down. And it had happened even during the night, waking up and feeling like I was smothering, and all I could do was call on the name of Jesus. It was, you know, so we got to understand that we do get under attack by spirit in the other world because they don't want us to do what we do for God. They don't want you to praise God. They don't want you to read the word. They don't want you to hear the word of God. They will find a distraction to keep you from doing what you have to do for God But we have to let God be the first thing on our lips in the morning and the last thing on our minds when we go to sleep. Because, again, somebody didn't get the do-over that we got today. So I pray that you have this day that God has made, that you use it to do something for the Lord, to take him wherever you go, to take your smile, to take your kindness, to take your love of God with you wherever you go. And I don't care what mandates say, wear your mask. Tell you this, you know, a physician, two physicians actually, have spoken, I've talked to this week, both said they have not dealt with the flu at all this year in their practices. No flu this year in their practices. So far from January to March 4th, they have not dealt with flu. I think one said they've had one case of the flu this year because of these masks that we wear. It is protecting us not only from COVID, but it is protecting us from the flu, which kills a lot of people as well. So I tell you, take love your neighbor as you love yourself and wear your mask. Not trying to be judgy, not trying to be preachy, just trying to be keep you safe. And as we continue, the last thing we have this morning is a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And this is it, hallelujah, and always on point. When problems pop up in your life, don't panic. God will always come through for you. His timing is perfect. Have a thankful Thursday. And as I say in my scripture, be strong and courageous, family. For the Lord our God, he will always be there. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And today, instead of our normal, and I'll say it anyway, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours, but let this word come to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Family, that's all I got this morning. It is a wrap, and I'm sorry if there was anyone that wanted to speak today. Sorry, I got to go to work this morning, and I will not have the lines open, but we will get back together tomorrow morning, and hopefully God will have a word for someone. We will be coming out of Numbers chapter 7 and chapter 8. We will also be coming out of Psalms 31, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs 11, 4 through 6, Mark 9, 1 through 29, and I'm just going to tell you now, it's probably going to change because we do a little bit different on Friday, but still join me and we'll either have an Old Testament word or a New Testament word. Thank you so much and be blessed. It is a wrap. Love you all. Got to go to work.